Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Hello there. Welcome to the show. It's brought to you with Levi Solicitors. They will give you 10% off your legal fees if you go through us. levisolicitors.co.uk/thesquareball. I'm Dan Moylan. Hello. Michael Normanton is with me.
Hello.
And so is Daniel Chapman, Moscow White.
Hello.
So this is our new spin-off podcast where we find out what's being said about Leeds United, both by you and by opposition fans, and sometimes journalists and pundits too, because they're generally interesting. We will take a look, first of all, at what we got right, wrong, or otherwise on the match ball. Our TSB Plus subscribers sent us their feedback on the feedback form that we give them sometimes when Moscow remembers to send it. This is the stuff that they picked out from the Spurs victory. Loads of them this week.
The biggest reaction ever. You set of glory supporting, but no. Thank you for your messages.
The absolute scorn you have for our audience.
When we lost to Brighton, where were you then?
Yeah, loads of themes coming in. One of the big ones was the starting point, the team selection and redemption from last week. And Andrew made a very good comment when he said he liked how Bielsa chose not to replace a single member of the team from last week's side, despite or because of their poor performance. They presumably talked about what went wrong and then he gave them a chance to put it right immediately. Real trust and mentorship, unlike the stuff that goes on in this studio.
We try and tear each other down at every step of the way, don't we?
Absolutely.
But not Bielsa. He presumably said, I'll keep playing you until you're good. And if everyone else gets very angry with you, well, not my fault, is it? No, I think, he got a bit of slack because I think Rafinha and Phillips are coming back from injuries and maybe people said, well, they're not completely fit, so maybe he's right to not put them back in the team, but there was a bit of uneasiness, particularly around, I guess, Alioski, who had his worst game of the season the week before and then came back and did this.
Yeah, Declan, Ryan, Dave and Paul all picked out the team selection redemption angle. Nice words from Declan, who I think is enjoying himself at the minute. Said, what a difference from Brighton. What a team. What a coach. What a season. Please, can we have some more? Well, Declan, if you're familiar with the football season system, they do it again in August.
Ah, but with different people, though, don't they?
Are you saying that Marcelo's leaving?
No, I'm saying Sheffield United have been relegated. There was an element of Wilkinsonism about this that was relevant, because I wrote about our 5-0 win over Spurs in 1992, just before this game, and that in 92 followed a 4-1 defeat away at Middlesbrough, and Howard Wilkinson did exactly the same thing, just stuck the same team out 3 days later, and he said at Middlesbrough that he if he knew why performances like the one that turned in at Middlesbrough happened, he could do something about it.
Yeah,
but he didn't. He said he'd had a feeling before the game that something wasn't right. Maybe it was something they ate, and so he might as well just stick the same team out on Tuesday night and let them sort it out, because there was really no reason for what happened at Brighton. Pat Bamford did say on his podcast that maybe they were just, he didn't go as far as burnout, but just had put so much effort into the games beforehand, they didn't realise what it had taken out of them until they got to Brighton and there wasn't much left. He said that when he was substituted off and he looked at the pitch, he didn't really recognise them. He thought these lads looked knackered. So just getting that out of the system and starting again against Spurs was probably all that was needed. We didn't need to immediately sell Matches Click and never let him darken our door again. For example, Jaggy Harrison, I think we're going to sign him from Manchester City after all.
Click was getting quite a lot of praise in the comments, actually, and it's something we did mention it, but we didn't maybe single him out for his return, did we? But lots of people saying it was good to be back. And Mule and a few others pointing out as well that it was good to get his shithousery waves back as well. He was quite nicely on the wind.
You know he's got his mojo back when he's doing stuff to people. Paul actually, on the redemption angle, asks, was it our best performance at Elm Road this season? Can't think of any better. He said, honestly, I think pretty much anybody could have been named man of the match and he'd have been fine with it. And a nice sign-off line is, cheers Leeds, Son's crying. Very clever.
I think that was the thing that came through in the comments as well, that normally when I do this, I kind of break them into categories and there's one or two players mentioned. Pretty much everyone is getting a mention in this one.
Well, it's probably symbolic of what happened. Jimbo said work ethic and team play outshone individual stars, and that was the difference between Leeds and Spurs.
The only person who came in for any criticism at all, really, was Tyler Roberts. So over to Moscow to tell us why he actually played really well.
Ah, sick of it. Shut up.
I can't even be bothered going through it again. The last two touches he had were awful, but in between them both, there was a simple pass to Bamford that he booted out for a throw-in. It's just kind of everybody makes mistakes. Not everybody gets sold immediately for them.
John Crossland did come to your defence, actually, saying he watched highlights of the Liverpool game and he thinks Mo Salah has a touch of the Tyler Roberts. He just delays a second or two long and the block or challenge comes in. I expect the special keyboard warriors are saying that Salah is shit.
I mean, you kind of saw it on the first goal where he had the chance to cross and you think he whip it in first time and he didn't, but there is a plan B in Bielsa's attacking play where you just take it over to the other side of the pitch again and it's fine. So it kind of, he still made it through that. And yeah, you'd love him to be a little bit more confident in those situations and do everything a little bit faster, but you don't know if that's going to, something that he'll never be able to do or something that he might be able to do or whatever, and really does it matter? And it's true of Alioski, it was true of Costa before Wan-Bissaka broke his back, that the players that we kind of don't rate to the maximum in this squad have seen us through a period of games where we've seen off all the so-called top six teams in the Premier League. We've been unbeaten for however many long, apart from the Brighton game. This is our best team performance of the season without Calvin Phillips, without Rafinha. And so the idea that, you know, the players who've had this, but it's not just Roberts, but Click is not good enough for the Premier League. Alioski is not good enough for the Premier League. Helder Costa can't compete at this level. Rodrigo, should we just send him straight back to Spain? They can beat Spurs 3-1. Question is how often they can do it and how consistently they can do it. But none of them are out of their depth at this level. It is fine.
The question of Salah is an interesting one because they did a bit of analysis on him over the weekend on Match of the Day, and he's making bad decisions at the minute, taking a second too long, looking a bit ponderous. Because you get the impression that Salah's quite fundamentally quite a greedy player. I don't know if you get that impression. Obviously, he's one of the world's best. I'm not in any way trying to trash him, but he's quite selfish because that's why he scores so many goals. And he seemed to be leaning into that too much over the weekend when you saw the highlights that they went through on Match of the Day. Do you see any of it? Where he's just sort of snatching at shots and maybe picking the wrong option, stuff like that. It happens to everyone, is what I'm saying.
I didn't see Match of the Day, in fairness. I guess it can go one of two ways with strikers when they're not playing particularly well, is that they try and shoot every single time or they try and always pass it because they don't want to be missing another chance. So it's, I think sometimes last season, Bamford was the other side of that, in that he would not want to just go for goal and stuff because he'd be thinking, well, if I miss again, people are going to criticise me. So he'd maybe try and take another touch and pass it or something. But this year, he's got a bit more of a ruthless edge to him.
And yeah. Mo Salah is an interesting example because if you remember him at Chelsea, he was awful.
Yeah.
And then it took a while to find his feet before coming back to Liverpool, and suddenly he's one of the best. Not suddenly, he became one of the best players in the world. And it's only when you read sometimes the coverage of Leeds from outside Leeds supporters, where you're reading in national newspapers, that they're making the point that hardly any of our players have played top level football before this season. These are literally, and we talk about Tyler Roberts, it feels like he's been around for ages, but these are his first few games in the Premier League. And, you know, if he's no better than Mo Salah was at Chelsea, then there is still hope and there is no reason to.
Yeah.
To be harsh on his every touch. I get bored talking about him. I think that's why I get annoyed about it, because I just don't feel like it needs discussing. He won 3-1.
Yeah, and he's some years off his peak, given the time to mature, and he's probably fine.
We won 3-1, and he made the pass to the wings for both goals.
Tell you what, this is getting all a bit heavy and serious, isn't it? Let's trash Spurs. Andrew Larkin wanted us to lay into Spurs and refused to acknowledge that this marvellous display was a win against one of the big six, because Spurs are perennial underachievers and always will be. Yeah. And they've just delayed that, you know, that loan that they got. It was a government-backed loan, wasn't it, during the pandemic? 175 million quid, I think they took. I gather they've delayed a repayment on that loan by another year or something like that. Hopefully they're skint.
I mean, they don't look like a big six team because they have schoolboy in charge. A proper, well-run football club does not end up with a 29-year-old kid standing on the sidelines watching. I loved, he was moaning on and on about that offside decision, which I do have some sympathy for, but I mean, you know, don't go on about it. But then he was asked about the build-up, what went wrong in the build-up to Leeds' two goals. He said, oh, can't really remember what happened.
Inspirational,
great,
Ryan.
Yeah, that's the great analysis that Spurs have got leading them on their unsuccessful march to the Champions League.
Presumably, this is the same Ryan Mason who's got loads of footage of him on YouTube doing seminars, football conferences around the world, being translated in many languages. Oh no, sorry, that's the other guy on the other bench, isn't it? Sorry, I'm confusing him.
You've got to start somewhere, but
not there. Hey, Benny Lux has been in touch. You'll be pleased with that, Moscow. Benny Lux says, if the internet's to be believed, Strauch marked Kane out of the game while earning £192,000 a week less. The differential for Alioski and Bale's about £285,000. Value for money from the squad with the second lowest salary outlay in the division. Brilliant, isn't it? We're great.
It was very satisfying because you did look at that on paper and you thought, we're going to be overrun here. There's going to be constant problems. And I mean, they had the chances, didn't they? There was the one that Son obviously put away. There was the Kane one, which essentially was onside, wasn't it?
Yes.
And there was the one time Bale wandered past Alioski like he was a child. But other than that, it was absolutely fine.
Do you know what I like overall about this? I think all these things tap into a common theme, and that's Spurs on their day symbolise everything that's wrong with the Premier League. The monstrous wages, the individuals in a side that's just not coherent and not all pulling in the same direction. And we're just the opposite end of that scale at the minute, and it's dead nice. I just want it to be like this forever.
Look at the third goal as an example of it. We're already winning that game. We get the ball back. We've got people bombing forward trying to score a third. Spurs cannot be asked to get back. It's Alderweireld on the halfway line. He's the first. He's trying to play the offside trap. He puts his hand up and he just more or less stays stood there because he can't be bothered to then go, oh, well, he's not offside, I'll chase. And Ndombele's running back from midfield. He's only been on the pitch 5 minutes. He can't be asked. He could probably have actually cut out the cross if he'd run the whole time.
Aurier's still smarting from when he got smashed in the face by Clegg.
Oh, it was terrible. And the left back, I can't remember the guy's name, but he's on the far side of the pitch just jogging back. It's completely ridiculous, the difference in energy levels and how bothered we are, given we had nothing to play for in that game. We're basically fighting to finish eighth is about as much as we can probably hope for. Spurs are meant to be in the they need that Champions League money. They're skint. They're fucked. Everyone's going to leave as soon as they don't. But instead, they're just like, yeah, might as well lose 3-1 as 2-1. What difference does it make?
It's when something's broken. They're still, what are they, knocking about sixth, seventh, something like that, and they're broken.
And when they were good was because they had Pochettino in charge and he had that bunch of individuals playing like a team and he got them to a Champions League final. And you could see when he was watching Paris Saint-Germain imploding against Manchester City in the Champions League the other week, he was looking at those players with such disdain, disappointment, hatred of just, when they just started fouling everybody and trying to get themselves sent off. It was quite fun,
I enjoyed it.
It was fun, but the camera kept looking to Pochettino and you could see him just going like, why am I working with a bunch of absolute idiots? And it's kind of, he had Spurs doing very well with this kind of setup they've got, where they have got, you know, Kane and Son are incredible. And they would be able to get the ball to them, get the best out of Dele Alli, who, you know, the two, Robin Koch played really well, but the two times he gave Dele Alli half a second, he set up goals, which, you know, says something about what he does have in his locker. And the point there is obviously Pochettino learned all this from Marcelo Bielsa.
Correct. Yes.
So it's really everything that Spurs have ever done that's good was thanks to Leeds.
And Dele Alli was picked out by a number of people in the feedback, Richie, Rick and Ken. All like we were, there's kind of that moment where you went, oh, because he's been away on his Mourinho gap year. You don't realise how long he's been away, because he's been away, he's grown his hair, he's maybe done some, I don't know, he's been on the beaches of Laos or something like that, just finding himself.
My other theory is that he's got a Gervinho style receding hairline, so he's wearing that fat band around the front to just try and disguise it so he can get the hair transplant sorted in the summer. But yeah, it was quite alarming because he was always quite a geeky looking lad, wasn't he, Dele Alli? That was his thing, he was really good at football.
Has he beefed up as well?
I'm not sure. Maybe that's part of his gap year, that he's maybe just put a bit of timber on. I'm not sure. But
that's what Rick Hall was saying. Sorry. Rick says, has he been under the care of Rob Price? Because that's not his body and not his body parts. It looks like he's been moonlighting down at Spurs.
Quite possibly. I mean, he still looked quite a decent player, to be honest. So.
Oh, very good player, yeah. Just the Captain Jack Sparrow vibes were fun, weren't they, as well?
That was it. I mean, Robin Koch he got a lot of praise over the weekend and did look very comfortable in place of Calvin Phillips. But it was telling that the first goal was kind of very confusing. I put most of the credit on that with Son for the way he just held back. He realised that the markers had kind of been missed. And so he just stood off and didn't let, he didn't go near enough to Cock for Cock to be able to go like, right, I'll get on him. He just waited until he saw the gap between him and Alioski and then was like, whew. The other one, I think Cock just turned his back for like a second and Ali was off into space on the wing. So there were kind of two little errors from Robin, but that were seized upon by a very good player. But then the development of Cock in that position from Brighton to this, to if he carries on there, is very promising.
Being switched on in the concentration, as you say, it will come in time. Even Cock, who's played in the top division in Germany, it's a new league, it's a new country, it's new teammates, a new system. They're all going to just be learning it game by game. The defence actually was picked out by a number of people, Adam Daniel and I think it's Diego Llorente's agent actually who said this, and we're under attack here, lads, so prepare to defend yourselves. Says, I feel like Llorente's contribution is very underplayed. You guys keep referring to mad moment. Huh? He's made about two mistakes since he came back from injury. It's like the commentators. Llorente will Cruyff turn away from an attacker and then play the pass of the match, and the commentators don't even mention it. We need to start giving this guy unadulterated worship. Before he came into the team, we were conceding a ridiculous amount of goals, and he's the reason our defence has improved. I think you're misunderstanding why we're calling them mad moments. We're not criticising them. We're just observing that they're mad. Like the Cruyff turns on the edge of your box, you go, oh, and you do a sharp intake of breath, but then he does the pass of the match, and it's so worthwhile. It's the level of risk involved that we kind of call mad. We're not criticising the actual move itself.
It's unusual to see a defender doing it, is why it seems mad, but yeah.
But it's fun.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I just put all the madness to me is summed up in him shooting from halfway. that's what I'm thinking of when I think of his madness. But he is superb at the back. There was a couple of just interceptions on Saturday that are just so calm and cool. They remind you of good defenders. You have to say Rio Ferdinand in these instances, but probably, I don't know who it's easier to compare him to, whether it's easier to compare him to Rio Ferdinand for his effortlessness or Ben White, who looked a lot like Rio Ferdinand. I don't know which one is kind of more annoying in retrospect at the moment. Ben White's so much nearer in the memory, but just is such a little fool in a Brighton kit. Let's say he looks like himself.
Llorente, what I like...
Well, actually, he looks like Pat Bamford, doesn't he?
Well, he does. What I like about him is he looks inscrutable as well. You can never really tell what he's thinking, but the madness lurks in his eyes. He's got a twinkle. The corner of his mouth turns up. He's got a smile, a knowing smile, thinking, I'm just going to do something a bit mental now.
That's it. It's never expecting a mistake. I don't expect him to make any mistakes. It's never knowing when he's going to shoot or do a Rabona and probably do better than Eric Lamella.
Onto some random stuff that was picked out. Joe had an issue with clothing.
Yeah, the wearing of gloves. I know it is May, but it is bloody cold.
Yeah, to be fair.
No, come on, Michael. You're always cold though. You've got the blood temperature of a pensioner. I remember like going to my nan's house in the middle of summer and she'd have the heat. It's only on 25. I don't know what the problem is. You know, like you're opening the windows, trying to breathe in there. You are a little bit like that because you always try and warm this place up beyond what is sensible.
Yeah, and then I go on holiday and if it gets above about 23, I melt. So yeah. I've got quite a sweet spot in the middle somewhere. I think I just like to be well wrapped up.
It was chucking it down as well. I mean, I wouldn't have liked to be out
wet hands.
Playing football.
What can I do with wet hands?
Who wants wet hands? Nobody wants wet hands.
But if you wear a woolen glove, it's just going to absorb water and weigh you down. You'll be dragging your hands around on the floor, won't you?
I assume they've got some kind of like, they don't wear mittens. They'll have some kind of waterproof.
Wearing mittens with a string up the sleeves so they don't lose them.
It was one new way of avoiding handball in the penalty area is you have your mittens with a bit of cotton holding them together.
But he says, yes, I don't want to sound like a cliched Richard Keys, but it does need to be discussed.
I mean, imagine Richard Keys' hands going in water with they'd be weighed down with all that.
Richard, take your gloves off. What? Oh, sorry.
He could actually Velcro gloves on, couldn't he? Could Richard, and they'd never come off again. He said, did Joe, how can Bale, Roberts, and at least five more outfield players... Oh, sorry, he's picked on Roberts again. Moscow, sorry. Five more outfield players be wearing gloves and long sleeve shirts in May. Then you have Dallas and Harrison in short sleeve T-shirts only. And Rodrigo, to be fair to him, came on. No base layer. And he had short sleeves on. But he says it makes no sense. He says the worst was Regulon. He went short sleeves and gloves. Are you cold or are you not? Make your mind up. Not only should gloves be banned after March, each team should be uniformed. Very important discussion. That's a fair point.
Skins.
Shirts v skins?
For Burnley, maybe, because that's what Dyche should... If Pat Bamford was wearing no shirt against Burnley, I think it'd change Dyche's opinion of him, maybe.
I was going to go the other way. Big, heavy woolen jumpers, long knickerbockers, long stockings. Get them kitted out like it's 1899 again.
In suit jackets. They used to wear like suit jackets, didn't they?
Absolutely. That would be superb.
And then finally, something that's going to tap completely into your pensioner's mindset, Michael. Jimbo asks, why, even though we're playing like that, am I still filled with fear and angst? He can't remove the Leedsiness from his psyche. Trusts Marcelo Bielsa, but why it's still lurking in his mind like poltergeist, occasionally knocking over any positive feelings he can't explain. Can you?
I mean, even I'm kind of all right at the moment. Just about. Obviously, when next season starts, I'll be fearful again. And if Bielsa leaves, I'll instantly think we're heading straight back to League One. But I think Jim, he's actually called Jim O, but I think we referred to him as Jimbo once and I've stuck with it then. So just upset him. I think he needs to calm down, and that's coming from me. Everything's fine, isn't it?
There's nothing to worry about. I mean, we're speaking the morning after Fulham's relegation was confirmed by Burnley, who the statisticians tell me, or they tweet, that Burnley have scored more goals at Craven Cottage in 2021 than Fulham Football Club.
And they only won 2-0, didn't they?
So, and that's the team we were worried about. You know, we're anxious that Fulham might catch us. We've been fine since September in the Premier League. So we should enjoy the next three games, which hopefully are just going to be a whipping tour.
And 36 points would have been enough to keep us up. That's fact now.
And we've got 50.
I think actually 28 points would probably have been enough to keep us up, given how absolutely torrid the bottom three is.
Yeah, the total is likely to drop between now and the end of the season because you can't imagine that Fulham will win three on the bounce. However, 36 would have been enough to keep us up, and we passed that mark when we beat Newcastle in January.
We could end up with 59 Premier League points.
Go down in the second season, though.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
That was us and your feedback on what we had to say. What about the Spurs fans and the wider world of propaganda? Expressions oozing. This was one that loads of people sent to us and picked out. We do have a little bit of beef with this, don't we? In that a lot of it feels performative.
It feels like he's seen the hits Arsenal fan TV get and just gone, yeah, I'll do that. And it's kind of working for him. I think about 130,000 people have watched this video, so fair enough, I suppose.
Yeah, but why don't you tell your friends to listen to this and then we can get those numbers and we can probably retire like that twat does for shouting on the internet.
Well, that's it, but we don't film ourselves screaming at a TV. And I always, every club's got these now, basically the videos are all identical. They just change the shirts and the room. But I always try to picture the camera being switched off and the calm switch to just popping in the microwave meal while you Photoshop your face onto the thumbnails for YouTube. Ooh, I look like I'm screaming on that one. I think that'll get me some hits. I did quite like his pronunciation of the Leeds team, though. If this was acting, it was very good.
Leeds now in goal. They got Mesilia, blood. Right back, they got Ayling. Centre back, they got Llorente. Next to him, they got Strujic. On the left, they got Aluiski. Right, that sounds like a beverage, fam. In the middle, they got Koch. On the right, they got Dallas. Then they got Klitsch, Roberts, Harrison, and Bamford up top. Blood, Bamford is the only one I know, blood. I swear down. I'm not even going to lie to you, innit?
That does reveal his hand somewhat, doesn't it? That he's not probably not even a football fan. He just likes those hits.
And he likes the words. And a few people did bring up my mispronunciation of of the word mispronunciation.
Of most words.
Of most words. So I have, it was, how son. Is it? Son? It's son. Supposed to be son you were rather saying than son.
Son, like he was the opposite of a daughter.
Ah, kid. Mm. So I feel that. But the the goal reactions, what's interesting about his goal reactions is they're very much of the genre. They're all kind of like this. But just occasionally, real feelings do slip through and you think, that's the reality. Stick with that. That for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
That hit.
There was a lot of that. Repeating the same thing over and over again. Repeating the same thing over and over again. Repeating the same... Sorry, go on.
Just before he gets... The for fuck's sake is real, though. We've isolated it. You can hear the pain.
For fuck's sake!
That's, you know, I know that feeling. But then after that, yeah, that doesn't get the hits if you just do that, so...
It's too easy! It's too easy!
Yeah, as before, there's a lot of repeating the same thing over and over again.
He's
a
got
lot
the theme.
Shall I do the joke again? No.
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 There's more of it. He's not done yet, is he?
I know. This is what I thought when I was watching him. I thought, it's quite funny. It's not so funny anymore. All right, you've worn the joke a bit thin. And, you know, we would never flog the same joke for hours and hours, months, years on end.
Have we got a Steve Nicol clip here? If only he was screaming, with the ball, without ball, with ball, without ball. Instead, it's...
It's too easy. It's too easy.
Still going, isn't he? You could go away, make a cup of tea, come back, chat about books you've read lately, what's been on telly, tune back into him on YouTube.
It's too easy, Eric Dyer, you fucking...
I think he might be done now. I think that's his lot.
So he certainly does ooze expression. A limited number of expressions, but ooze them he does. Should we move on to We Are Tottenham TV?
You've probably seen these lads before. These, I think they're brothers that do this one. And they're doing a watch along on this.
Is it the craze?
They don't seem very threatening, these lads. They look like a pair of lovely soft boys.
Is it the Mitchells?
Do they love their mums?
They don't seem like love your mums type Cockneys. They just seem more, they seem like quite well educated, like young men.
I thought it was the law that if you are a Cockney and you have a brother that you have to do bank heists.
I mean, maybe they do in their spare time, but this is them. This is the build up to and reaction to our third goal. And it's a lovely mixture of being annoyed, pretending you're pleased, pretending you're annoyed, pretending you're pleased, and then they have to conclude that we do deserve it.
Is that fucking going into the 83rd minute? We have not shown one bit of urgency pretty much the whole game.
This is embarrassing. Oh, this is embarrassing. They're just playing round us like we're fucking Burnley. Here's Lucas. Come on, a bit of energy by Lucas. Here we go. Oh, poor pass. So poor. Great dribble, but then there's no quality at the end of it from Lucas. Alioski. Roberts. I mean, Roberts is off. I can click. Here's Rafinha. He's one-on-one. Here we go. This is going to be finishing it. Rafinha, it's a goal. 3-1. And that puts to bed any hopes because we're shit. We're bottlers. We're fucking rubbish. I'm happy they scored because it doesn't. Because we don't deserve anything from this
idiots,
game.
Idiots. The whole lot of them.
Bullshit. Absolute bullshit.
Crap.
Yeah, I'm glad you've left me and taken the kids because I'm happy. I'll be miles better off without you.
I take back my speculation about them being criminal masterminds. It sounded more like they were sending back a disappointing avocado salad in a coffee shop.
Now, Steve Nicol is a perennial favourite on this show. His dour view of the world. And when we say dour, if you've not experienced it yet, do go back and listen to some previous propagandas because he's probably the most miserable man in the world. Or is he?
Lead the Dorset Spur. I think he normally does longer videos than this, but he was very keen to point out he basically couldn't be bothered anymore because of what's the point of anything.
We've just been left with dross and more dross. So, yeah, really appalling. Fed up, not happy, don't want to watch it no more, want the season to end, want Daniel Levy to either put his hand in his pocket and really make a statement or disappear up his own anus because he's just giving me the right ump now. So that's it. I'm no long debate video about, you know, how we played or player ratings or anything like that because I just don't think it's worth it. I think the team's done and dusted and, you know, I'm lost for words with it. I've give up now. I just want it all to end.
Well, there's a happy man. Just for the record, at the time of recording, Spurs are seventh in the table, by the way.
All dross. Harry Kane.
Andros.
Yes. Andros Townsend. Son. Hugo Lloris. Gareth Bale. Dele Alli. Dross.
You know, there's a word that they use, Spursy. It's all very Spursy, isn't it?
Well, this is it. You should know. I mean, I've not followed Tottenham closely in my time on this earth, but even I know, no matter how good players Tottenham Hotspur have, there's a ceiling there that means they'll win the cup every 10 years, the FA Cup, usually when the year ends in one, not this time. And that's it. They can't hope for better. They had Hoddle and Waddle and won now.
I wanted us maybe to get into that Europa Conference League thing because I think it might be fun for us to win the inaugural one. I might get more joy if they're forced to go in it instead of the Champions League.
Have we had any news? I know you're just checking the table then. Is there any news on their chairman's anus? Has it ingested him yet?
I believe, yeah, he's actually disappeared up it.
All of him or just...
Clambered inside himself and then the universe kind of went pop and just disappeared.
Oh, that's good news for Lee at least.
Who's Matt Hayes and why has he got a blog?
Yeah, Matt Hayes' blog on YouTube. I don't know which one Matt Hayes is, but it's not this guy. This is a guy who was a guest on his show, going by the name of the Irish Hotspur. I was saying in the match ball, I wasn't really sure what Eric Dyer was for. And I think I might have said he was a bit of a joke and I was unsure. I'd never seen him play well. Mm. And I thought I was quite harsh on him, but then I heard this bloke.
Look, let's just be real about Dyer, right? He's an overgrown baby. He's just a big man child, right? He's always waiting for things. He's not proactive about anything. And he's just useless. Let's just cut the crap now. Let's be honest about these guys. You know, he's just an overgrown man child. That's what he is. He can't do that. And he can't even defend. Get him out my team. Get him out my club. Honestly, if he doesn't get fined a week's wages for the two goals he's cost us today, then this club is dead. F student in school, right? Just doesn't understand. We're talking to a brick wall, right? Nothing goes in. Just complete concrete brickhead. Overpaid, too much time on their hands, and not enough actions or not enough things on the field. Egoed athletes is what we have at this club. Eric Dyer sums up exactly the problems at this club.
When was the last time footballers were actually fined for making a mistake in a football match? Everybody always says, if he doesn't get fined a week's wages for that, he should give his money back to the fans. When has that ever actually happened?
When we played Football Manager, probably.
I'm pretty sure you can't fine someone just for not being great. No. I think you have to have like turned up late or, you know, committed an actual breach of your contract.
You've gone out there and done your job, but just to let you know, you will be forfeiting this week's wages because I'm not happy enough.
And if you don't get fined, then the club is done, apparently. But it's not just Eric Dyer that he hates. He hates pretty much all of them.
Like, we sacked Jose to have Ryan Mason, right? At least wait till the end of the season. And this is what I've been trying to tell people all season long. The manager's not the problem here. Even under Pochettino, manager's not the problem. Even right now, look, Ryan Mason, he's not the problem. Problem is these players. They're shit. They're just dog shit.
These Cockney accents, bloody hell. So difficult, aren't they?
Ryan Mason. Ryan Mason.
Have you just done a racism again, Michael?
No, that's how he says it. But yeah, I think of poor Ryan Mason listening to that and going, I'm
trying my best.
Not that bad, am I?
You are.
But yeah, absolutely all of them are shit.
Did you know Eric Dyer is an app developer?
I did not. The same one?
Yeah, because I was intrigued when that fellow was slagging off his Instagram to see what was on there. And it's all quite benign, just shots of him kind of training and in matches. But then there's photos of him with his development team for his iPhone app, Spotless, which seems to be a way of...
curing acne?
It's a solution to our collective dining malaise.
I didn't know. I had one.
It's a social recommendations app.
Is dining malaise, you know, when you've had your Christmas dinner and you're absolutely fucked because you've eaten about 4,000 calories in half an hour? Is that what that is?
It is a social recommendations app that shows you user-generated endorsements on everything from restaurants to hotels, clothes shops to parks. Instead of being told...
You invented TripAdvisor, Eric.
But TripAdvisor is totally public. And instead of being told whether somewhere is worth your time by a faceless stranger, Spotless brings you recommendations from the voices that matter most, those of your friends, families, and people whose opinion you respect. Obviously.
So you've invented Facebook reviews.
The Irish Hotspur isn't going to...
Oh, no, I forget. You don't respect anyone on Facebook.
Respect the opinions of Eric Dyer. Growing up in Portugal, I was always someone people would message when they went there asking where we should go to eat or which beaches we should visit. Dyer explains, I ended up with this list in my notes app on my phone that I would just send out to people. But he's turned it into an app alongside his brother Patrick and their longtime friend Zoe. So that's nice, isn't it? Mm. That's much better than playing football. I mean, you're wondering what Eric Dyer is for.
I know they get loads of money.
Go and do this.
Loads of money, and they need hobbies and stuff to fill their time. If it's keeping him happy, then fine. Let him do it. Waste of time, though, just so you know, Eric. Right, back to Matt Hayes, or not Matt Hayes. What are they talking about here? I've not heard this clip yet.
He gets lost, essentially, is what happens here. And I think by the end of it, he's probably wishing he'd not started.
Take my jersey. Take that jersey off. Take it off. If you're not going to wear it with pride, with passion, and with the will to win, take it off. You do not deserve to have that crest on your chest. And so much of us fans, we wear it with so much pride, so much passion, so much heart, and they go and shit on it. They may as well just brought the jersey out to the centre circle and took a right big royal dump on the crest. Because that's how much they care about us, and that's how much they care about this team. Anytime there's something on the line, results go away, we can salvage a season or achieve something, you can guarantee on this Tottenham team not turning up. And then for the last 2 minutes of the game, to go out all out, and they're like, oh, look, but forgive us, we tried. You're bullshit. Too much talking in the press, too much talking on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all this shit, and not enough actions on the pitch. Ban them from talking. Ban them from all press duties until we see results on the pitch.
What is he? I'm lost there. Because I'm just kind of just before you comment on this, we've had Daniel Levy's anus. We've had shitting on the crest. Are we starting to see a sort of scat / anus trend here with Spurs fans?
And don't, whatever you do as well, don't talk about it. That was the other thing. He wants to ban them from talking. Like monks at the training ground.
It's Fight Club with scat.
Meanwhile, I've got a picture from Eric Dyer's Instagram of one of the spots he found through Spotless. It's a huge dish with, I think there's 8 fried eggs in a ring of crisps, as far as I can tell. So that's one of the things you can discover. I mean, you want to ban him from talking, but also you want to know where to go to get the egg and crisps thing, don't you? So it's a conflict.
Onto the Cheese Room, Spurs podcast. Rachel pointed us in the direction of this one via the feedback form. Thank you, Rachel.
This is a more sane approach to things generally, but I think it's equally indicative of the state of mind of Spurs fans that they're
Is it Spursy?
It is quite Spursy, but it's a little bit Leedsy, actually, because they're bemoaning Bale's contribution at the start of this and pondering whether or not they sign him and stuff. And they essentially conclude that they should get Eddie in and play the kids.
If we want to see the 2015 Bale, well, that's not going to happen. There will be a time and place for someone like Bale. Yeah. It's just whether you think you can use the money in a better way. Maybe Jack Clark could get those starts. Who knows? But
I think the shortfall could be made up by like better coaching of players like Jack Clark.
And thought about this long and hard. If we're going to get someone young and upcoming and knows the league, I'd go with Potter. Eddie Howe got Bournemouth relegated. Scott Parker, it's too soon. And again, if his objective was to keep them up, he won't achieve that. So Potter plays a decent brand of football, a solid defence.
I really like how they're in that cycle of looking for answers and they don't know what any of them are that they need. Because we, again, comparing them to us, we're quite happy at the minute and it feels like we've got a winning formula that's doing well for us.
1 week you're in the Super League, the next week you're looking at Potter, Eddie Howe and Scotty Parker to save you by playing Jack Clark on the wing.
And with the best one in the world, and Jack Clark is obviously a talented lad, I'm not sure he's necessarily the answer for Spurs right now.
Drop Bale, pick Clark. If they want something from Brighton, they need Brighton's defenders. Never mind Graham Potter. Get the giant men from the South Coast. Stick them instead of Eric Dyer. And then he can go and find those eggs and crisps.
We all had a good chuckle at Sheffield Wednesday going down over the weekend. Shame Derby didn't join them or haven't joined them yet. Let's hope that gets resolved in a way that entertains us. One thing we did find that was entertaining for Sheffield Wednesday, because there were lots of them to laugh at. I don't know if you went on Owl's Talk, their forum. That was brilliant. That was a really, really good tonic over the weekend.
Well, I wanted to capture a bit of that in podcast or YouTube form, but I couldn't because they didn't seem to exist yet. Some of the Wednesday podcasts that seemed semi-regular hadn't come out yet when I was trying to find these. So I came across a lad on YouTube called Ben Harris, who he's quite young. I think he's probably about 15, 16 now, but to see how young he is, it shows him in his bedroom and he's got Sheffield Wednesday wallpaper and bedspread. So he's of that age anyway. And when you went back...
So have you, Michael, and you're in your 30s.
And when you went back a few years, there was a clip of him at Leeds away doing a little vlog and he looks like a proper child on that. He's very fresh-faced. And so I was kind of hoping he'd have said some mean stuff about us and we could have a little giggle, but instead I just found sadness and I felt like I wanted to give him a bit of a cuddle at the end of it.
Before I press play on this, has he got to that point yet at 15, 16 where all his hope is gone?
You can see it disappearing in this clip. And I'd probably urge you to go and look up the YouTube of this because the audio is only half of it. This is a very heartbroken young man.
We're still playing. We're still playing. It's not over yet.
Is it Richards?
It's going to go now, isn't it? Yeah. Come on. We're down. Rooney managed to keep them up by the skin of their teeth. A sloppy penalty lost us that game. I mean, we drew. We literally drew. Derby have stayed up. Wednesday, Rotherham and Wickham all go down. I'm still in disbelief. My heart's still going. I still haven't really accepted it, to be honest.
I do like the use of the word literally there. They literally drew.
They did literally draw. He did get that.
Rather than metaphorically, for example.
I know what he meant. You do come away from that thinking you've lost, don't you? I mean, it's like when we beat Liverpool at the start of the season.
Yeah. Which we did.
It was a 5... Did we say it was 5-4 or did there some of those goals get chalked off? I can't quite remember.
Yeah, there were so many goals. We lost count.
We didn't need to come up with scores, did we? We just know how it felt and that was a victory.
But more amusingly in Sheffield, Hecky. Remember last week he said it went wrong from the whistle?
Have they improved at all?
Well, this week Palace scored after 90 seconds. And so this is what he had to say about that.
Paul, how do you reflect on the defeat today?
Yeah, tough one. The first goal was the one that sort of changed the game, dictated the game to concede so early in the position that we're in the league and against a team that's so good on the counter, just changed the whole dynamic of the game. It meant the game was set up in their favour and it was tough for us to really wrestle the initiative back.
Tough to wrestle the initiative back after 90 seconds.
It's getting close to, you know that meme of is it Chemical Ali, who was the Iraqi information minister? You know, he's in front of the microphone, trying to damp down the chat room in front of him. It's getting to those sort of levels now with Hecky, I think.
You think the player's doing it on purpose? He says, "Now I want you to keep it tight, lads. Go out there, no silly errors. If we concede, we've got a big problem in this game. So get to half time, 0-0. Just let them score, lads.
We cannot have this guy next year.
He's on the short list.
What am I supposed to do? They've scored after 90 seconds. It's game over. On the plus side for them, though, because sometimes when you're getting relegated and you've got a few injury problems and stuff, at least you get to see some youngsters into the team.
Put Eddie in charge and play the kids. It's the refrain, isn't it? When everything's gone wrong, you seek solace in youth.
You put Hecky in charge and you play Daniel Jebison, who came on. And what do you think Paul likes about him?
Is it his qualities, perhaps, with the ball? And
you brought on Jebison in the second half. Tell us a little bit about him and what he brought, do you feel, to the game?
You can see he's got good energy, great work rate. He'll perform his role without the ball. But he's also a willing runner and he'll look to stretch the opposition's defence and be in the box when crosses come in the box. He got his head on the end of one. It was just slightly too high for him. So in that respect, he brings an attacking threat, but also presence when you've not got the ball as well. So yeah, he deserved his chance. Like you say, he's only 17, so he's a million miles away from being the finished player. But he's someone who's worked extremely hard this season and we've been pleased with him.
He's only got two modes as Hecky, hasn't he? And you know what they are.
He never got to whip ball.
Well, he said about he can do some attacking stuff. Oh, yeah, it was mainly just about running.
I mean, the one cross that he got his head on the end of was just too high for him. So did he touch the ball? We'll have to check the stats.
He did actually say he's far from the finished article, didn't he? So I guess he's got there without ball.
Yeah.
At the moment. He's working on the whip ball.
Hecky did this at Leeds, didn't he? He just kept throwing. And Ryan Edmondson got his debut at 16. He's just like, well, I haven't got any better ideas. You don't need any grade to play the kids in. It was, Powdy O'Connor, who is now the Lord of Bradford, winning every award they've got going, we were building a team around him at one point, weren't we? It's just, oh, Paul. I just really, really hope they give him the job next year.
I'm going to miss him when he's gone. So, yeah, we just need to hope that. Do we hope he wins some games, though? Because that's the thing. For him to have any chance of getting it, he probably needs to win a couple of games to to just cap off the season, doesn't he?
What, this season?
Yeah, which I know is not going to happen.
Do you know what? I don't care.
Oh, but I've quite enjoyed listening to him because he's so reliable in his post-match stuff that I kind of will miss him if he's not doing it.
I would quite like them to put him in charge. You're right, actually. Yeah.
So come on, Hecky, get a couple of wins.
Does he need them? I mean, he's been awful so far and they've put him on the shortlist anyway. So maybe the perfect scenario is that they lose all the rest of their games and he gets given the job full-time next year.
To close out this episode of Propaganda, then let's return to Richard Keys and Andy Gray on the snappily named Keys and Gray podcast. Do you remember we played, I think it was it last week or week before, they were criticising Marco Bielsa for not speaking English in his post-match interviews. Well, they're back this week with talk from Andy Gray, who doesn't seem to understand the social media blackout. You may have seen this clip or heard it. It's vexing him a little, and you'll understand why.
Can you clear it up for me yet? Because you know I'm not with social media. So that means that from 5 p.m. on Friday in Qatar, can I still text my family?
Yes, that's
can
not
I
social
watch
media.
That my family?
Yes. Social media is this, is us,
so
is Twitter,
I'm only on
is
Instagram.
Instagram.
So I would come off Instagram until Monday.
Just leave that.
Leave it alone.
Absolutely.
Can I use an oven? I've got a wind-up radio. Is that okay?
And what I like to think there is actually it's his kids who've told him you can't contact his dad all this weekend.
It'll be like when we were younger. You can only see us at certain times in a contact centre.
There's been some news from Tottenham. There's a ban on talking, Andy. So got to respect that.
Quiet weekend for you, Andy. Well, that wraps up this episode of Propaganda. Look out for the main weekly show in your feed on the way in a bit. And we'll be back with more Propaganda when we face Burnley at the weekend. Oh, there's that very, there's that angry dingle, isn't there?
Don't call him that.
Oh, shit.
He's an upstanding gentleman.
I've already done it now. Oh, we'll speak to you in a bit.
The Square Ball Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.